This is KUNM. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Three detectives are still working a combined 40 hours each week to solve the murders of nine women and two teen girls whose remains were discovered on Albuquerque's West Mesa in 2009. KUNM's Marisa DeMarco spoke with Lieutenant Scott Norris, who took over the violent crime section of the Albuquerque Police Department about a month ago and is now overseeing the investigation.
So my background on this case actually is kind of very limited. I've been assigned the violent crime section for just a little over a month now. Once I assumed this position, I kind of assumed all the responsibilities of all the units and their existing investigations. I've been force-fed with a fire hose with regard to this, just because of the gravity of the case, how important it is to the community, trying to find out who is responsible for these types of things, omit anybody, and also help the detectives kind of direct their focus on who we should be focusing on.
There are three detectives working on the case.
Yes.
And have they been working on it a long time?
Yes, they've been working on it actually for approximately 3 years. There's been rotations of detectives, and this case has rotated through detectives. And the reason for that is, during an investigation, you'll have so many leads that run you down a particular path that investigators, everybody, and it's just human nature, sometimes tend to get tunnel vision on something. It's always nice to put on a fresh new set of eyes, review everything to offer a different perspective and look at maybe other angles of the investigation that the previous investigator may not have looked at.
And even though this is part of the cold case unit, it is an open investigation.
Yeah. You know, that's one thing. That's kind of something that's really important that we clear up is there is a perception out there that this is a cold case. This is an active case. It's been a very, very long active case, but it's never been cold. So in other words, the investigation has never stopped, right? Been put on the shelf and resumed at a later date. It's been continuous since it happened. Because of a lot of the things that we've established to try and help us solve the case, whether it be the tip lines that we've established, I mean, we still get over 1,000 tips a year that we still have to track down. We still have to exercise a process of elimination with some of those tips that we have. And there's a lot that goes into it. So there are measures, things that we put in place that have organically kept this case active. It's never been cold.
And so what's the day-to-day like?
There's a lot of time that is spent, you know, I mentioned on those tips that are coming in. So we have two tip lines. So it's a long methodical process to try and go through those tips. Backgrounds have to be done. It's arduous, laborious work to do the backgrounds on the tips and the people that may come forward on us. Interviews have to be conducted, checking of criminal histories, looking at time frames and saying, okay, this tip came in, this is the information I'm getting in from this particular source. Does it match the time frame on when we think these crimes occurred? So there's a lot of steps and there's a lot of obstacles that have to be negotiated to try even figure out, is this a viable tip or not? There's another day-to-day operation is we have technology that is constantly evolving. So the more technology evolves, the more DNA retesting that we're trying to do of the existing evidence we have, anybody else that we may get into custody relative to any type of felonious crime, DNA retesting, submitting DNA samples or standards to see, hey, is this DNA connected to these particular murders? Even though technology has evolved and we're getting those results back much quicker, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're getting these results back quickly. It still takes time. There are so many facets of this investigation, especially one of this gravity, that it is constant work. I mean, as recently as 2 months ago, we had ground penetrating radar that we had sent out on the West Mesa from a tip that we had gotten to see, hey, is this a viable tip or not? Well, those types of things take time to acquire. It takes time to execute those types of operations. So it's constantly evolving. We're always kind of trying to think of new, innovative ways to approach it. So it's an everyday type of operation that they're doing.
So it's been 10 years since the remains were found and the murders themselves happened before that. What are the challenges of working on a case that's this old?
Well, just that kind of what I said is even though it occurred 10 years ago, we're still getting a lot of tips. And the challenges are, too, is keeping up with that evolving technology and understanding what we can and can't do. You know, some of the initial sources that we had acquired in terms of the individuals who were living a similar lifestyle who knew these victims, well, they live a lifestyle that is not very stable up to this point. So it's really hard for us to try and reconnect with those sources to try and see if they have anything that can help us, because they're kind of jumping around from spot to spot just by virtue of lifestyle. So it's really hard to go back and mine information off our initial sources who were providing us with a wealth of information when this thing broke. So now we kind of have a new population that lives the same type of lifestyle, and they are not as intimately involved with it because they didn't know the victims. They were much younger when these things were going on, and they don't know, and they're relatively apathetic about the case because it doesn't really resonate with them because they didn't know the victims. So that's a challenge that we have to face.
There's still concern that police don't take crimes against people who do sex work seriously enough, or that police don't look into it when people go missing, or sure, treat their reports of sexual assault respectfully, and that feeds into this problem overall. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I can understand how maybe that perception has kind of perpetuated itself. But we have an initiative going on right now that is actually just the opposite of that. And we're looking at this initiative as almost kind of a preventative measure to prevent something like 118th Street from happening again. It's called the High Risk Victim Multidisciplinary Team. This is geared towards individuals, sex workers, individuals who may live a lifestyle that puts them at risk, to try and prevent these things from happening to them.
Family members are frustrated that no one's been found and charged for this, and they're looking for closure. Do you have any words for them?
Just, you know, please have faith in the Albuquerque Police Department. This case will come to fruition. We will find somebody. And also, too, is one of the obstacles that we have to deal with at times is people giving us new information because they're under the assumption that we already know. And that's not necessarily the case. No piece of information is insignificant. They may have the mindset, they're not going to care about something like that. That has nothing to do with the case, or it's nothing of importance. That's not true. The littlest thing can break a case wide open. So I would just urge the community, anybody who thinks that they have any type of information on this, it's not insignificant. Don't make the assumption that we already know, because we get our information from the community. That's where we get all of our information from. You know, the community helps us solve crimes like this. We can't do it on our own. And that all goes into community-oriented policing that we engage in every day. It's community policing the community policing us, us policing the community.
Have there been any breakthroughs or revelations or progress on this case in the 10 years?
Yeah, there's been a lot of breakthroughs. We have made a lot of progress in terms of narrowing down that process of elimination when it comes to maybe looking at particular individuals that fit a certain profile by terms of how they have operated in the past. There has been a lot of progress made. The problem is, like I said, is when you have so many victims, and we still have six that are missing, we still have yet to recover six individuals who we believe to be victims of this person. With those six, with the recovery of those six missing bodies, which I'm optimistic will happen, is going to come new evidence. And it's going to come new information that we have to vet, that we have to source, that we have to process, and then we have to put into the existing investigation and connect all the dots. There have been a lot of breaks in it, and a lot of it has come with, you know, the evolving technology and just kind of the proactive work that the police department has done along with the community to try and find out, you know, who committed these crimes.
Do you still believe you can find the killer?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Like I said, I'm very optimistic. Not just that we'll find the six missing bodies, but with the amount of work that these detectives are putting into it. And so progress is being made every day. It may not necessarily be as fast as we want, but you can't really rush through things like this. You kind of have to let the investigation develop on its own with nudges, but you can't rush it.
Could something like this happen again in Albuquerque? And what is APD doing to prevent that?
Well, I don't ever want to rule out the possibility and give anybody false security that this will never happen again. I can't predict that. I'm not a predictor of the future. What I can try to do is try to prevent these things from happening. And what the department can do is try to prevent these things from happening. That is a big reason for this initiative. It's being able to recognize these things and going, okay, listen, what is it that we can do to try and help particular individuals out and offer them resources and other things to try and minimize or mitigate a circumstance that they may find themselves in similar to this one.
That was Albuquerque Police Lieutenant Scott Norris talking with KUNM's Marisa DeMarco. APD's tip line is 505-768-2450. This is KUNM.